All right. Good morning. It is a good morning. And we know throughout the centuries, prophecies have come and gone. And yet, the book that the Apostle John wrote near the end of the first century is still with us. I remember reading it as a young boy and wondered, what does all this mean? What's it about? And even today, with many years of reading it and studying it, I'm still fascinated by its message and its mysteries. Where are we going in our study of God's Scripture? We are going where many preachers dare not travel. We're going into the book of Revelation. Now, it has been 8 years, I looked it up, 8 years since I went through the book of Revelation. And it's just as important to go through it again because of what happened. You look at Charlie Kirk. This world is against Christians, and it's all prophesied. So we're going to go to the last book of the Bible. And we're going to see together the blessing that contained in that book. Now, before I begin to read, it's important we know the name of the book we're reading. I know you're thinking I just said it, but maybe your Bible doesn't say that. I looked it up, a couple of them. I have a 1901 American Standard Bible at home. And that has the title of the Revelation of John as the title of this book. But my NIV, which is a 205, just says Revelation. That's it. Nothing more. You look in the Authorized King James Version, and it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is what my New King James has it as, which I'll be reading from. But if you go to the Geneva Bible, 1599 version, it says revelation of St. John the Apostle. So I looked at my mother's Catholic Bible because I was raised Catholic. 1949 has the title of The Apocalypse of St. John the Apostle. So the name given to this book in our Bibles is the English form of the Latin equivalent of the Greek. You got that? Good. Apocalypse. What does it mean? Act of removing. Or taken off the veil. You know, like a bride takes off her veil and reveals herself so the groom can finally see what she looks like. It means to discover what was previously hidden from view. And so I'm just going to call it Revelation. Be assured now, many people have an S on it. There's no S. It's not Revelations. It's singular, Revelation. And it was made by Jesus Christ to John. And then John penned it all down so that other servants of God, you and me, can read it. It is not the revelation of John, no matter what some of these titles say. The author of Revelation is Jesus Christ. John just wrote the account that was revealed to him by Christ. It is not a revelation to John. It's to us. It's to the church. Now, as we go through the book, it's 22 chapters. We're not going to be in a hurry because there's too much there. And it may take more than one session just to go through one chapter, such as this morning. And that's because I'm going to read every single word of every single phrase so that you and I will get the full blessing that's promised in this book. Yes, that's correct. He's beautiful. So in this book, Revelation, it's the Holy Spirit that pulls back the curtain and it gives us the privilege of seeing the glorified Christ in heaven. And we see the fulfillment of his sovereign purposes in the world. The book is one of hope. It was given to the churches that were being persecuted and they were suffering. And this is a book of hope, as well as a warning. And it assures the church, you, me, of the advent of our Lord in victory. He is coming again in victory. But the time of this is hidden. It's hidden with God the Father. But rest assured, it is certain. Well, let's read a little bit. We'll begin Revelation chapter 1. I'll be reading the New King James Version. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So revelation means the unveiling of divine mysteries. And Jesus is both the mystery and the revealer of it. He comes to reveal himself, and in himself, he reveals the Father. Now, what's revealed is not necessarily secrets about the future. He's revealing a person. He's revealing not a man. He's revealing God, the divine Son, commissioned by the Father. The verse reads, which God gave him to show his servants. So God gives to Jesus this revelation, And Jesus gives it to John, who writes it down so that we have it. That's the order. Where did it come from? God the Father. How did we get it? We got it through Jesus Christ, because God gave it to him. He's the medium between God and man. And he used some agents to help him out here, angels. Sent by his angel, it says. The beloved Apostle John, in his old age now, and he's in exile. He's in the island of Patmos, sent there because they couldn't kill him. They tried. And he gets this revelation from angelic hands. And he writes it all down in a book. And it's called the Apocalypse. Now, this is hard to understand. John is writing down on paper. Well, not this paper, but, you know, parchment. Visions that were shown him that nobody's ever seen before. How would you write down visions of the year 3030 if it was shown you? So don't get hung up on trying to figure out what John's describing here. At least not for now. Just try to see the vision exactly the way John sees it. And then the understanding is going to come later. Maybe after your 12th time through the book. Now, John was probably at this point the very last surviving apostle. All the others had been killed, martyred for their faith. And so this book, that's why it's the last book of the Bible. It's the last divine revelation given to the churches by the last apostle. He's an eyewitness. And he was told to bear record of all that he saw. He didn't make anything up. He didn't add his own viewpoints to what he saw. He didn't hide anything and hold it back. Everything is a record of God and the testimony of Jesus. But we could narrow everything that I said down in one sentence. What John saw, we have it here. He wrote it down, and that's what we have. Now, as we go through and study Revelation, we're going to encounter a great deal of symbolism, and much of it relates to the Old Testament. Why did John use symbolism? Well, as I said earlier, the church was being persecuted by the Romans. If any Roman officer got a hold of these writings that John was writing down and tried to use it as evidence against the Christians, they couldn't, because the book would have been a puzzle to them. They didn't know what it meant. What's he talking about? So they would have tossed it aside as being a lunatic. But more important than that is symbolism is not weakened in time. It stays the same. So John assembles images in God's revelation into this exciting drama that not only encouraged these persecuted and suffering saints, it encourages us. But do not think that symbols indicate the events John recorded are not real. I assure you, they are very real. They're going to happen. They're happening. This is the only book in the Bible that has a blessing associated with it. And I read that. Verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written in it, for the time is near. In the Greek language, we have words that convey an idea. And the idea of he who reads is that this book is to be read aloud. He who reads and hears. We have to keep these things that are written, it says. We have to keep them in our mind. Keep them in our memories. We have to keep them in practicing in our lives. And we shall be blessed. Because the time is at hand. That's a very important phrase. The time is at hand. It's now. So much time has passed from John writing Revelation to today, thousands of years. It's easy to assume we have a lot of time. I don't think we have very much time. I think it's right at the door, which is why I decided to do this series again. You all remember Noah? Not your son. How long did he warn the people a flood was coming? 120 years. The whole time he's building this ark, for 120 years, he's preaching to the people, repent. God's going to destroy the earth. Nobody except his family. 8 people. They all missed the boat because they didn't heed Noah's warning. And when the day came, and it says Noah and his family went into the ark, Scripture says, and the Lord shut them in. Noah didn't close the door on the ark. God closed the door on the ark and sealed it. Because Noah would have opened it to let other people in. And God said they had their time. This book is God's warning to us today. Don't wait. Read it. Have we all read it? If we haven't, then I will provide Bibles for those that don't have one that can read it. Because your life depends on it. So, it is. And mine is a red letter edition. So you will know when God is speaking. But we're not yet where God is speaking. I'm in verse 4. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So John is told here to address the churches. Letters usually address who they're speaking to. And he addresses the churches of Asia with a kind of benediction of grace and peace. And so I'm thinking, why seven churches? And did this thought of blessing come from John? Or did it come from the Holy Spirit? Well, seven, if you know, in Scripture is the number of fulfillment and completion. So in this book, God is going to tell us how he is going to complete his work and usher in his eternal kingdom. We're going to find seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, seven stars, seven lampstands. It's all throughout the book. And there's some other sevens, and we'll run into them. And these special messages to the seven churches that remind us that the head of the church, Jesus, he knows what's going on every single church, even this little church. He knows what's going on. And our relationship to him and his word determines our life and our ministry. Now, in regard to the outpouring of John's holy love here, is John expressing his own fervent desires that grace and peace rest on the churches, or do they come from the Holy Spirit? Well, all Scripture comes from divine inspiration, right? So if the words were suggested to him, they came from the Holy Spirit. If they came from his own thinking, it was the Holy Spirit that stirred them up in the first place in him. So they came from the Holy Spirit. So yes, they came from a divine nature. The blessing came from the triune God. From him, which is, was, and which is to come. It came from the Father. The great I am, eternally self-existent from all time. They came from the Holy Spirit. The sevenfold majesty, the source of energy emitting from the throne. They came from our Lord Jesus as testifier of the truth, King of kings. Verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Now, verse 8 turns to words from Christ himself. And he is speaking here to John. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The theme of this book is the return of Jesus Christ to defeat all evil and establish his reign. Verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Is not the rapture of the church. It describes our Lord's return to the earth. That's not the same as his return in the air to catch away the people. When he comes away to capture away the people, or what we call the rapture of the church, Scripture says he comes as a thief in the night. And only those who are born again are going to see him. Nobody else. Your neighbor next to you that is a heathen will not see you disappear. You just won't be there to weed your garden anymore. The event in verse 7 is going to be witnessed by the whole world. It says, every eye will see him. That's the whole world. It's public. It's not secret. It will climax the tribulation period, which follows our climax. Ends has ended then. Finally, those 7 horrible years are over of God's judgment on the earth, and Jesus comes again. Let's back up a little bit to Matthew. Matthew 24. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heaven will be shaken, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30, just described verse 7 in Revelation. It's the same prophecy. Jesus gave it to his disciples concerning his return to the Mount of Olives. And when he comes down on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split in two. His feet touch the earth. Every eye will see him. How's that possible? Well, back in biblical days, they probably didn't know how that would be possible. I used to live on the East Coast. I live on the West Coast. I spent time over there in Vietnam, across the ocean. In all those places, I could always see the sun, the moon, the stars, the same sun, moon, and stars that you guys see here. No matter where I was, you saw them. It's easy. Everybody's going to see them. Again, Matthew 24 says, as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the man, Son of Man, be. It's going to be so brilliant that nobody's going to miss it. The whole world will witness the coming of Christ. Now, thinking about that, don't think that he is not here in this little church today. He is. He's not leaving us alone to suffer and be helpless. He's not near. He's here. He's in it. His Holy Spirit, his comforter. He says, I will send you the comforter. His presence is in the heart of every single believer. That's why it's so important to accept Christ and be a believer. Now, don't let any of this take us off from our responsibilities. We're not going to just sit down in that chair and wait, because the Lord says, preach the gospel to all the world. He says, watch and be ready, because you don't know when I'm coming. He's going to come when he declares the harvest is ripe. I think it's pretty ripe. And when he does come, his work is going to be judgment. When he comes, he's going to judge the earth. And he's going to reveal his sovereignty to the unbelieving world. Now, I think it's already in process. It's already on the way. It's already moving toward us every moment. Nothing has to happen before he comes for his church. No other event that we can say, okay, after that happens, then I'll be ready. No. He's actually on his way right now. This train of events that will bring him to us began a long time ago. And when we recognize this, we'll understand what the purpose of this age is that we're living in. Our purpose is to be ready at any moment, all the time, day or night, just like those 10 virgins. 5 were ready. 5 were not. They thought they had more time. But at midnight, he's here. Let's go. So it could be when we're sleeping and you're in your pajamas that he'll come for his church. You won't have time to get down on your knees and accept Christ. Today, Scripture says, is the day of salvation. Whosoever, nobody's excluded, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, shall be saved. As each soul's attitude is toward Christ, accordingly will be the sentence for that person. Here in verse 8, our Lord ascribes the exact same honor and power that's given to the Father. I am the Alpha and Omega, he says. He is the beginning and the end. All things are from him, and all things are for him. He is the Almighty. He is the same eternal and unchangeable one. And anyone who presumes to blot out just one character of his name deserves to have his name blotted out of the book of life. Those that honor him, he will honor. Those who despise him shall be dishonored. Those words are from God. So by announcing himself as the speaker, he calls for our attention. Listen up, he's saying. And this should be shown by listening, studying, obeying, and trusting. In the attribute of the Almighty God, we find a pledge. Not one thing will fail of all that the Lord has spoken. You can read that in Joshua. Not one thing. It all came to pass. So why shouldn't everything in this book come to pass? That's why I said it's very real. Okay, so now we await the visions which are going to be opened up to us. And we should listen to the words which our heavenly speaker will address to these churches next time. Lord, open your book to us. May we read it this week. Study it. Prepare our hearts and our minds to receive you. No matter what's going on in the world around us, the evil, the killing, the robbing, the stealing, you've all predicted it. And we see it coming to pass. And we look forward to this coming to pass as believers and followers of you, Lord. Come quickly, in Jesus' name, amen. I can't get into the book today. Huh? That's an introduction.